Hello, 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 and welcome to Happy Horror Time. I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert, and we are here.
We're queer.
Get used to it.
You know, bing, ba, ba, bing, bong, bong.
I don't think we've ever said that before at the beginning.
Right.
Think about all the people that just turned off the podcast.
I don't want to think about anyone but myself.
You mean so it's per usual?
Yeah.
Look, what if you were finding us out of nowhere and you're like, hey, I want to hear about some horror movies. And then you signed on. It's like, we're here. We're queer.
And let's all cheer with drink.
Oh, well, if you've made it past that, then you must like hearing two gay guys talk about horror movies.
Yay!
And speaking of gay, we promised we would talk about this after the event. And you know how we were talking about Tim's 45th birthday a bunch of times beforehand because we went to Vegas and had a Vegas girls trip.
We went to, we got on a plane first off.
That's true, yeah.
And then we got off the plane and Matt had a surprise.
Yes, so it was just Tim, myself, and two friends of ours. Our good friend Eddie, who lives in San Francisco, and our friend Louis, who lives in, I don't know why I said that with an accent. Do you think it would be Luis?
I think it probably is Luis.
I mean, but he's just like, these dumb white people call me Louis, probably.
I don't know what it's in his mind, but I know that he is like James Bond 007.
Because he's a spy?
Yeah. The spy who loved me.
Oh,
Octopussy.
The spy who shagged me.
Uh-huh. Can you name three James Bond films?
No, because I hate James Bond films. Anyway, and Lewis. Do you know I saw the first James Bond film I had ever seen like a few weeks ago? Jacob forced me to watch it. No, he didn't force me. He asked if I would watch it.
That was the very first time you ever seen
very first.
I grew up on them. I've seen them all.
Well, congratulations.
The world is not enough.
And who sang that? Tina Turner,
garbage.
Right? Garbage?
Yeah.
Oh, or you're talking about that's how you describe your rendition.
No, that's how I describe your face.
How do we get from my sweet birthday gift?
No, Matt was very sweet. Well, he surprised
first,
me.
Yes, it was Eddie and Louis, two good friends of ours. It was the perfect group. Jacob couldn't go, but that made it more like a girls' trip.
Right, right. Without yours, you're the only one that was. It's like on the Housewives show, like in New York. Like none of them were married, so it was just. They weren't even housewives. They were just like single ladies in New York.
Yes, all of you were single except for me.
Right. But technically, I mean, you don't have a ring on it.
If you like it.
You better.
Put a ring on it. Well, I mean, yes, I'm not in a marriage.
I know, but you're together.
Yes, exactly. But tell everyone what my surprise was.
Well, I was guessing all weekend because last year my sister-in-law showed up and that was a big surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year I thought, is it going to be, my family loves Vegas. So I was like, did he invite my parents?
And I kept fucking with Tim all weekend saying like, oh, can't wait for your parents to get here. Or, oh, your sister's coming like just to throw
my brother,
off.
Just anyone. Like I was like, oh, it's going to be a family member surprising me because my family's obsessed with gambling.
Oh, I thought you were going to say obsessed with me.
They're obsessed with me. They always want to see me lose in gambling.
But the surprise turned out to be.
But it was such a great gift and it totally really did surprise me. It was Chippendale's Front Row.
Yes. So what happened was Louis, Eddie, and all I chipped in. I just texted them and I was like, I had been looking up online, like what male strip shows are okay with not just men attending them, but like are more LGBTQ friendly. I actually looked that up and there were surprisingly a lot of articles talking about how Chippendales, like they encourage men to come. They'll even give them attention. It's not like they make you feel like an outsider or put you in the back.
What's the other two? Thunder Down Under and Magic Mike? Yeah, Do they ignore you?
I don't know. I just know that every article said Chippendales. Like, and didn't you tell me that Thunder or one of them makes guys in the back?
Well, back in 2009, when I came down to Las Vegas, my friend was doing casting for a Chippendale show and we had to stand in the back. But I think that was standard. Like,
God,
all men.
What a great job doing casting for Chippendales.
Right?
Rough life.
I'm friends with people in the biz.
Got it.
But then cut to. It's no longer 2009. Cut to
2022.
We can be in the front row.
Well, so I booked us a table right next to the stage, like literally, like right in the corner
of the
stage. I
could see their sweat.
And
I could feel their sweat.
The show was great. I mean, all of the guys were really, really hot and also really great dancers.
Yeah.
But the coolest part was that like they came up to us, gave us attention, you know, just like, I mean, yes, the audience was about 90% girls and a lot of them getting married or birthdays. But there was one other group of guys there.
Yeah, there was. I would say out of like 100 girls, there was like 20 guys.
Yeah, that's and awesome. And it was cool because, again, some of the dancers like came us, gave us more attention. Some were, you could tell, maybe not as into giving us attention. But I swear, the highlight of the night, of course we told them it was Tim's birthday. So they grabbed him and they brought him on stage and they did this, like, it was during a cowboy number where they, like, what did they do?
They, like turned me around, like, twirl, 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 twirl. Then they backed me up when I was in a rope. And then they all had jeans on. They turned around, dropped their jeans so the audience sees butts. And I see what looks like pantyhose over their ding-dongs.
It's called a cock sock. So basically, apparently, they can't...
I'm not saying cock sock.
I'm not saying cock sock.
Okay?
No, wait, what was it? You're not saying what?
Cock sock.
They apparently, which is really weird, I guess you, I don't know if they just can't show
sure
their
some kind of
their dongs, but right. But it's like the tiniest little, you know,
I
cock
mean, I could
socks.
Still, I could see it, but not see it. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
But from the audience, we only saw their naked butts, but Tim was there and they all dropped their pants.
I did. But, and you know what though? I'd rather see a naked butt.
But he, oh really? Well,
yeah, I'm not, I don't need a front row seat to a ding dong.
The best part of this is that Tim looked terrified.
Well, I was because
he looked terrified on stage and we were loving it. I was going nuts because they twirled him around. You were in a rope, right?
Yeah,
like a lasso.
Yeah. This guy, he was like, "Are you nervous?" And I was like, "Please just be gentle.
Be gentle." Is that what you usually say to guys?
Yeah.
It was just hilarious. But we were having so much fun. I hope you had fun.
Of course I had a great time. It was the best gift. Thank you very much, Matt.
Well, and thank you to Eddie and Lewis because we all chipped in on it because it was not cheap.
Thank you. I can only imagine. So thank you.
But it was definitely worth it. And also, it was just a really good show. I mean, yes, the guys are hot.
Did you enjoy it?
Of course. Oh, is that a joke? Because I keep saying how great it was. Yeah, it was amazing. No, it was just a lot of fun. And like, they were also really talented. And then afterwards,
it was like the mingling.
Yeah, you get to mingle in this bar. And we met a lot of them. We met a lot of the girls. And of course, you know, girls love gay men. So they're all running over like, oh, you guys are the coolest.
And I was wearing, my friend Eddie got me a sash that said, it's like, my birthday, bitches.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it was great. And that was only one of like multiple things we did. We also did an escape room, which was
Saw,
in the theme
based
of
on
Saw.
The Saw. Yeah.
And it was really well done. Like production value. It's like they had the Saw voice. They had like traps. It
looked
everything.
Like the set, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, they murdered people.
They
it was
murdered
great.
People. I mean, we were not on our game. We might have been a little drunk.
I mean, I feel like that was all weekend. And then the other thing was we went to a drag brunch and like.
I usually don't like. I mean, of course I like drag queens, of course. But usually I'm just saying. I'm not impressed. Every single one was impressive.
That's what I was going to say. Usually when you go to just like, well, I guess this isn't a local drag show. You know, you'll get the local talent and not saying that that's bad. It's just, you know, it's not like that extra elevated level, but these were all like really top level, like drag talent. Some that I had, I recognized their names from RuPaul's Drag Race, and just they were just all really amazing performers.
I agree, and I like their songs and their energy. And I thought the host was filthy dirty, but got away with it all.
And the food was gross, but everything else was good.
Right, and no one got on stage and slapped him.
Slapped who?
The host.
Oh, another Will Smith jokes just still
That's
going.
Right.
It'll
it's
probably
never
go.
End.
How long that'll go 50 for?
50 years.
50 years. Oh, God. So, yes, that was Tim's birthday. And yes, it was, a pretty damn good birthday,
it
right?
It was. I mean, like, I'm not even 50. I was just a measly 45.
But that's still 5 or 0 is a milestone.
I agree. And let me say, I am mentally feeling 45.
I'll say this, though. Like, I think we all were so excited at the beginning for a weekend in Vegas, but by like the third day, we're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah. I was ready to not drink and stay up till 3 a.m.
That's the thing. Like, I can do it maybe
and throw away all my money
2 to 3 nights in a row, and that's about it. So by the end, we were all like, okay, well, let's
but
go.
Didn't
home.
The trip feel like 20 minutes?
I mean, now looking back, I feel like it was the tiniest blip.
It
yes.
was like, bloop, done.
Exactly. Done. Then your next birthday. Then yep. 50. Then, just kidding.
Oh, God. It's really, in 5 years, I will be 50.
We don't need to talk about that. Instead, we should talk about our wonderful 2 movies that we watched.
Yes, which got me closer to 50. I'm just kidding.
We, 2 movies that were both streaming, but both exclusive to their streaming services. One was a Shudder exclusive and one was a Netflix exclusive. Let's start with the Shudder one, right?
Okay, because Netflix just lost $54 billion.
Oh my, wait, a drop in the bucket.
First off, million's a lot to me, but billion?
I mean, I read something about that, and I think it's just there's so much competition with streaming services.
I know. Remember when there was just Netflix? Now there's Peacock, Paramount, Hulu.
I feel like sometimes it's not good being like the original because everyone wants the new and latest thing.
What about NBC, CBS, and ABC?
I read something also. Well, they're like the original. I read something also. This is going to piss a lot of people out. That apparently Netflix and I think maybe Hulu are going to start some third sort of thing where you have to pay more if more than one person is using the same account, aka like no more sharing, or you have to pay for a shared account.
They messed up starting it that way, so they like everyone. It will miss.
That's the thing. You can't start a certain way and then change it because people are going to be pissed off.
Right. Like when I'm go on a date.
I mean, I don't know. What? do you share your Netflix account with your dates?
Yeah.
You're like, everyone I've ever dated has my Netflix pack. But we share accounts. Uh-oh, FBI. No, but I mean, everyone does.
I think at the beginning they were fine with it.
The thing is, it's a really tough call to now
slippery
suddenly
slope, Matt.
Go. Well, but they're losing money, so they've got to do something. So it's like, hey, cut out those sharing relationships.
Well, maybe less comedy shows. No one watches them.
But you know what? Netflix has a ton of true crime now. Like, everything is true crime
actually,
on Netflix.
Before we start into our films, watch Captive. It's called Captive, a Real American Horror Story. Is that what it's called? Anyways, I was hooked.
What was
hooked.
It about?
Remember in the 1989 TV movie that 40 million people watched called I Know My First Name is Steven?
Oh, yes.
They follow up on that, and they really deep dive on the family and the
Is it
tragedy.
Called I Still Know My First
I
Name is Steven?
I Still Know My First Name is Steven.
And then I'll always know My First Name is Steven?
Yes,
got it. Okay, good. I'm hoping that so the sequel will
Anyways,
be like...
I watched it, like, I started at midnight, and I was hooked.
I love that you just dismissed. You're like... Anyways, so...
Wait, I know I heard you, right?
No, because I was just cracking jokes, and you're like, anyway, I was really
hooked.
Oh, no,
I was just so captivated, Matt.
Wait, but tell me, were you hooked?
I was so hooked, like a hooker.
Oh, my God. Hooker, line, and sinker. Okay, let's go
into...
Let's go into our Shudder exclusive movie was called The Cellar. And right away, Tim and I were interested because it stars...
I'm going to try to pronounce this right. Alicia
Cuthbert. Alicia Cuthbert. Now, I love Alicia Cuthbert all the way back to 24 when she was Kiefer Sutherland's daughter.
I never watched a single frame of the 24, but I love her from the Happy Endings.
Yes, we both loved her. I mean, Happy Endings was great, but she's been in a ton. Remember?
She's got really good comedy
wasn't
timing.
She in, what's it, The Girl Next Door?
Yes, with Timothy Olyphant as the asshole.
Yes, and Emile Hirsch when he was like 17 or something. But she has been in a ton of stuff, but I love Alicia Cuthbert.
I want to meet her.
There's just something about her, although it was funny because right away she's like brunette in this. Which is very weird for her.
I think she's 39, soon to be 40, and she plays a mom.
Yes, and right away, like it starts with her and her family moving into a new house.
Right.
First
off, we don't know anything about this family.
All we know is that you can tell everyone in the family has an accent but her, and they have Irish accents, so obviously it's in Ireland. But right away, her teenage daughter is just like the crabbiest person
ever.
They
don't have a good relationship, even though the mother is trying so hard, and her mother has like a really teen-friendly job. We know that.
Alicia Cuthbert, she works with like influencers or something. But what's funny is that right from the beginning, I was just annoyed at the daughter because she's just like, whatever, mom. Yeah, sure, mom. Like, everything was angry.
Right. Like, I understand teen girls are probably angry today, just as the gay men are.
Just all of them are angry.
Yes, everyone's like, shut up.
Everyone is
bitch.
Angry. And it's all the parents' fault.
Yes.
Let's just blame it. It's the parents' fault. Well, yes, Alicia Cuthbert's trying to bond with her daughter. Her daughter is not happy that they moved into this old, creepy house.
By the way, we don't know why they... yes, we do. We just know that they got the house from an auction.
Yes, they got it for cheap at an auction, and they needed like a cheaper place, and it was a great deal.
But they
right
don't
away,
like, take down the old, creepy pictures.
When there's a great deal, you know something's wrong with
Amityville.
The house. Yes, exactly. Anytime you hear great deal, that equals murder.
Poltergeist.
Exactly. So then it's like they're checking out the cellar and the daughter goes in and like the door closes behind her and she starts freaking out because she thinks she hears something.
Right. And then there's a lot of like, let me out of the closet.
Tim, was that you as a teenager? Let me out of the closet. closet. Oh my God.
Well, let's just say I wasn't in there long. Okay.
You're like, the door was wide open.
Yeah, everyone's like, he's gay.
They're like, get out of that fucking closet.
Well,
I
think it was.
You're like, it was the 80s.
It was
You're
the
not
80s.
That old.
No, but
it
I mean, like,
the 80s.
It was
the 90s.
No one, there was no questions. They all talk to me.
Yeah, they're like, yes, you're right. So you weren't stuck in the closet. Well, actually, she wasn't in the closet. She was in the cellar. And
right.
That's funny.
Because the title is
The Cellar. It's called Alicia Cuthbert and
The
Cellar.
Now, where'd they film this, Matt?
Was it in Ireland?
I think it was.
Oh,
I can't believe
you're usually the one who knows
I
that.
I usually do, but I was looking to you because I'm insecure.
I was like, I don't think I've ever known where a movie's been filmed. Anyway, so the first night in the house, the mom has, and the dad have to leave the kids because they have to work. And even the teenager's like, you're leaving us on our first night in this
Which
creepy house.
I get that. Like, she has every right to be mad. Because that house is creepy and gross.
Exactly. So what happens is the teenager finds this old, like, gramophone, like, record player, turns it on, and it's, like, someone reciting, like, it almost sounds like coordinates or a math equation. It's, like, Q equals X, 4, 3.
Devil's gossip.
How much did you like math in school, Tim?
I hated it. I failed it. I went to summer school.
Wasn't expecting that, but wow.
Well,
I mean,
you want
some
the
people,
truth.
Some people hate math, but that is hating.
Oh, God. Like, I mean, I think I passed with a D. I got the bare minimum to graduate.
Do you want to hear something that's going to make you hate me even more?
Well, I don't hate
Not only that. Did I...
You took me to Chippendales. I couldn't possibly...
You're right. Not only did I love math, but I was in like all honors and AP.
Oh, well, that's great. I am happy for Look, you. I mean, nerds are fun too.
Look, I just... And what's funny is I do nothing in my job related to math because I work as a copywriter. So it's not that I never wanted to do it, but for some reason I could always make sense of it. But anyway... This gramophone is playing this equation. Then what happens? Like they hear something in the cellar and the
power goes out.
Yes, sorry. The power goes out and the daughter calls the mom.
And she's like, honey, I am doing influencing things. I do not have time. So let's just grow up a little bit.
She's
okay?
like, no, but she's like, I'm so important. No, she says you have to like adjust the circuit box
she,
in the
yeah,
cellar.
Yeah, go down in the cellar. She goes, count to 10. You're down there.
Well, she says there's 10 steps that lead to the bottom. And my first thought was, how'd she know that?
Yeah, we didn't see Eliza Cuthbert. Go down there.
Not even close.
Exactly.
Elisha. Oh, now I'm coughing and now I need water because of Elisha. Now you're making me second guess how to pronounce her name. Alicia.
What's her
Cuthbert.
Name in the movie?
Mom.
Mom. Okay, yes. So that mom says.
She says, just count 10 steps down. So the poor teenage daughter goes in the cellar. She's with a little candle and she's like counting.
Right.
And
she's
this
got
was
the phone
creepy.
To her ear, which you and I were both saying, like, why doesn't she just use her cell phone for the light?
Well, yes, she's not using her cell phone as a flashlight. She has a candle and she's counting. And then when she gets to 10, suddenly Alicia Cuthbert hears the daughter's voice like transitions into almost this
like
zombie sounding
like
and keeps counting.
11,
like,
12.
Yeah, it's like 8, 9. 9, 10, 11,
but
12,
it's
and keeps going. And it is creepy. And you see only from Alicia Cuthbert's perspective, like hearing her and like, what the fuck? And we don't see what happened to the daughter.
Right.
Well,
no, and we were, truth be told, we watched this during the daytime, in the day.
Yeah.
There's lots of light. I mean, maybe at nighttime I would have been scared, but I was not scared.
I found that scene creepy. I will say it was creepy because then she rushes home and the daughter's missing and no one knows where.
I think
that
part's scary.
You can't, no one can place her. And she's just like, you know, I was just talking to her and everyone, including the dad, is like, she must have run away. And she's pissed about the move.
By the way, the dad is H-O-double-T.
Hot-ta-ta-ta. Oh, the dad is, I love how we only focus on Alicia Cuthbert. The dad is played by, cannot pronounce this.
Good
Eoin
luck.
Macken? Eoin Macken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Eoin Macken.
But he played Brian Woods.
Yes, and Kira was Alicia's name.
Kira
but I still
Knightley.
I want to call her mom.
Okay, mom.
Anyway, so they're all convinced that she ran away. Alicia Cuthbert is not convinced because remember, she heard her on the phone. So she starts investigating, and this is where she, again, stuff you should probably learn about a house before buying it. She finds like all these symbols above all the doorways.
Right, and it means something.
It's like a weird, it all comes together into this weird like math equation that she kind of goes to a mathematician to find it out.
Yeah, she goes to the professor, which the house that they purchased is like the wing of the college. Like, it's all kind of connected.
Well, so she finds out that it's like this math, like this equation it like points, and I'm not describing this accurately, but it's like points to like a different dimension, and like there's different Hebrew characters that when they're put together, they can be read as like the name Leviathan, which is like a sea creature.
Based on the 1989 horror film called Leviathan, starring Peter Weller and Amanda Pays.
I don't think it has anything to do with that, but anyway.
Everyone should see it.
Definitely. It's this weird, but it is a sea creature. And then like, and then they also discover other weird things, and I'm reading this offline, but that there's another presence of some demon called Baphomet, which is known for guarding.
I called him Buffet.
Buffet. Phoebe Buffet.
Phoebe Buffet from the Fram.
Exactly. There's Baphomet who's like guards a portal to hell. So basically, she's finding out that all these symbols are pointing to these demons that like are just
leading
know.
People to hell?
Exactly. But
I mean,
then,
like, I don't know, like, who cares?
It was a lot of, like, mythology and a lot of symbology.
Right. But did it lead up to scares for you?
No, not that part. But she did go to visit. Remember, she finds out that the family that lived there before, everyone except for the daughter went missing. And the daughter is now, like, old and a home. And she goes to visit the daughter.
That scene was kind of funny.
Yeah, like, she goes to visit the daughter. And I don't... So her name was Rose. And she basically... I don't remember what exactly happened in that scene because there were so many things, but she seemed like she was crazy and
right.
she was...
She wouldn't make eye contact with her. She was clearly scarred by what happened.
And she was talking about how basically, she, like Alicia Cuthbert finds out that of the family that disappeared, the son had died and the dad made some sort of like deal with like some... The demon,
devil.
Yeah, to open the portal to hell to get the son back to life. But of course, it backfired and didn't work. And they were all taken by the house. And it's just like, well, for a couple things. Number one, if you're ever making a deal with a demon, it's going to backfire.
Right, exactly. And in your new house in the cellar.
Yeah, in the cellar with Alicia Cuthbert.
Right.
Say
right.
five times fast. Alicia Cuthbert.
I can't possibly know. Like, you're asking too much. I'm not a mathematician.
Well, we can get right to the big finale is once Alicia Cuthbert learns all this, she comes home. And like I think the spirits have like first kind of first they didn't they take over her son they try
yes,
they
yes.
like
they tried to get him to get in the cellar or the
yes,
closet
and
or
I think Alicia Cuthbert is able to get him out. Remember, he gets stuck in the cellar, she gets him out, but then it takes over her husband too, and you can see like I just think
they're like possessed.
Yes, the creepiest part of this movie is when they start counting because
right.
that is
well
creepy.
That is literally the end of the film.
The dad and the son are like counting, and then she like Kira, her name, goes into the cellar and is able to now go past the 10 steps and all the way down into like hell, and she gets into this other dimension where
right.
there's
and
what?
It's just like lines and lines of people just counting.
And they look like basically like,
they're
I guess, slaves,
and...
like hell's slaves.
Yeah, everyone's dirty and kind of cut up. We don't know why they're cut up.
And of course, among thousands of people that have
she's
been
like,
taken.
Oh my God, there's my daughter.
She finds her daughter and literally.
She's got a tattoo that says something. I can't remember what the
I don't remember, but 3 seconds. She's like, oh, there's my daughter among
right.
half thousands.
And then
thousands.
She pulls her out. They walk upstairs. The dad's kind of messed up. The son's messed up.
But when she pulls her up and it gets her out of this like hell dimension,
she
you think
the
they,
door.
Wait. You think they all snap out of it. And nope. So you're thinking, okay, she rescued her daughter. They're all snapped out of it. But when she opens the front door.
There's another staircase that looks like the cellar staircase.
So basically they're stuck in hell. Right, like it tricked her. She thought that she escaped, but now they're all in hell. And then it ends with poor Alicia Cuthbert starts counting also.
Right. So the dad's like 1, 2, 3. And then Alicia. Oh God.
Alicia?
Alicia Silverstone.
So then Alicia Silverstone comes in.
The mom goes 1, 2, 3. The end.
Exactly. That's good. Tim, you sound like you loved
it. Well, let me say, this is what the movie had going. It was an hour and 30 minutes.
You and the fucking time.
I am all about time because you know what, Matt? I'm like,
but what if
single?
It's an hour 30? What if it's an hour 30 minutes of like crap or an hour 30 minutes of the most amazing stuff? Don't you want more? Well,
you know what?
The latter.
I really, really liked her. Like, she can hold a movie. She held my interest. Everyone was fine. The movie was fine. It was just fine.
I love Alicia Cuthbert also. I do think she was the best part of this movie. I thought that there were suspenseful scenes. I think that the opening part in the cellar when the daughter's going down, they built the suspense.
Right. I will say it started strong. The middle was muddy.
I will say the score in this movie, one thing I remember is that the music was a lot more intense than the
scenes
demanded.
Happening.
Sometimes the music would be like, duh, 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 duh. even though they just like eating lunch. Like,
yeah, they're like, this salad's good.
It really was. The score was like unnervingly intense. And I was like, it's not like, this
nothing's
intense.
Happening. No, nothing's happening.
But there were scenes that were scary. I do agree with you that when they were trying to learn all the mythology, I was like,
snooze. Because here's the thing. You can have the mythology, fine, maybe one scene, but there was like a good 20 minutes.
Well, first
I was like,
she
no
was,
one cares.
First it was the mathematician, then it was the symbols, then it was visiting the daughter of the missing guy, then it was, and again, I get you have to put it together.
Yeah, she's like X-Files, and she's like, I'm learning.
I bring this back, and I think, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but a movie like The Ring, I feel like, which was done so well, like she had to learn the secret, but it didn't feel like it was just so much learning. Like, she had to learn what happened to the little girl and why she's hunting people, but it was simple, you know?
And there's one scene that really, this is just a scene where she's like looking at the computer, looking what's going on, and the son's like throwing a ball against the wall over and over and over. And I kept waiting for her to be like, stop it.
Oh, yes, when he's annoying. And it's like, and we also forgot how when she finds the son, he has the pentagram on his chest. Remember, it's like tattooed into him.
She looked at it for like a second. She goes,
I know, like it's just a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously, you have to believe in a lot of supernatural stuff to believe that this is really happening. But it also, not that you need a happy ending, but it just, I hate movies that make you think that there was a happy ending and then you're just left in despair. And it's like,
that's
you
the
think
thing.
She
the
saved
movie
her
was,
daughter.
It felt hopeless.
It ended pretty hopeless. Because,
you know, at least in Poltergeist, they all got out and they just pushed the TV out at the hotel and the end, happy.
Or if it's not going to be a happy ending, just end it like in a depressing moment. Don't like, they all made it. Just kidding. Like, that's what it felt
tricked
like.
Tricked,
it was a just kidding moment. And poor Alicia Cuthbert is stuck. She's still counting.
But you know what? Yeah, here's what the movie had going.
Alicia Cuthbert.
The husband was hot.
They had everyone but her had an Irish accent. I mean, I guess do you think they were like, hey, can you do an Irish accent? She's like, no. And they're like, okay, you'll be an American wife.
They're like, listen, you're going to sell this. So whatever.
It is funny that they were all Irish but her. So first I thought, is she the stepmom? But no, she was the mom. She just was probably like, hey, I can't do an accent. Sorry.
They're like, okay.
They're like, hey, but do you like Sellers?
And she goes, oh my God, where do I sign?
And they're like, hey, can you count?
Yeah.
And that was good.
I mean,
it was.
The thing about this movie is, like, as I was watching it, I was forgetting it.
It made that much of an impact.
Yeah, I'm
on
like,
you.
It made. I don't think I'll ever want to be like, oh my God, have you seen The Cellar?
No, I don't think I would either. Like, it's not one of those movies which I'm going to be like, hey, guys, you got to see The Cellar.
I don't think I'll, with X,
you know, like
But
X.
Here's the thing. I mean, my standards aren't high.
No, my standards aren't high either. But here's the thing. Like, there's some movies what I really, really hate. And I didn't hate this one. I just didn't find it. It just wasn't one of the better horror movies I've seen. And I feel like Shudder exclusives are kind of hit or miss.
Right.
Like,
you know,
we've seen
like
some really good ones.
I filmed in a different country. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, I will say, like, the cellar was set up in a really creepy way. So, I mean, when the lights were off. I mean, obviously, if you're not going to have a creepy
cellar,
it's not
going to
work.
But I wish it was, like, Paranormal Activity and just kind of, like, something spooky down there that we couldn't see.
Yeah, and
I
also... I
don't need stairs and people counting.
Well, it's like, I guess they just... And also bringing in not one, but two demons. Like, we have to learn mythology for two demons
now? I don't
have
that kind of time.
Oh, we've totally forgot. Oh, my God. When it was called Baphomet, the one that looked like the beast was running around.
You do see it for 1 second.
You see it coming after her, and it looks like someone wearing a costume.
It does. It looks like someone's wearing like a bear costume, but it's...
Or like a mascot at a football game.
Oh, it was so...
That I was like...
Good thing they only kept it for like maybe 3 seconds.
If you're gonna have a monster in a movie, either CGI it to the... In
or
a way,
just show red eyes.
Yeah, or just show the eyes or show it in the darkness. But if you show it and it looks like someone wearing a suit, like
on Christmas.
Like on Christmas.
On Halloween.
Yeah, it did look like that. And I remember looking at you and being young. Chris, I love dressing up as demons.
I always like to scare people like, Merry Christmas.
And then I dress up as Baphomet. Yeah. Say that to him, Baphomet.
Baphomet.
You're like Buffet.
Phoebe Buffet.
Yes. So that was The Cellar on Shudder. And then as soon as we saw this title, we were like, what is this? We have to watch this. It was a Netflix exclusive called Choose or Die.
I'm glad we chose it because I totally enjoyed it to a point.
But Tim, did you choose or die?
I chose it.
Okay, so right away, I've got to say, like, the setup for this movie is like an 80s fan dream.
If you're into video games.
Well, but it's like, yeah, I guess it wasn't all 80s, but 80s video games, like retro video games, retro computers, just had right. so much 80s types of stuff.
It totally reminded me of, because in 1994, I was working at a cinema, and I worked in, there was a movie called Brain Scan, starring the Edward Furlong.
Yes, I'm quite familiar with
it. It reminded me
John
of
John Connor.
John Connor.
Yes.
Do you remember the movie Brain Scan?
Oh yeah, with Edward Furlong.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like,
I don't remember the plot, but I remember the creepy like right. guy. Just, but it was kind of like a comedy too, yeah, right?
It was kooky adjacent.
Kooky adjacent. Mm-hmm. I like that. Hey, are you kooky adjacent? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so Choose or Die, it opens in a weird way. It's like this dad who's alienated from his wife and kid, and they're just arguing, saying fuck every minute. I thought you'd appreciate that, Tim, when the mom and the son are just like, you fucking this
and fucking. Yeah.
And then they're saying how their dad, all he does is stay in his room and collect 80s stuff. And you know what I thought of? Our friend Pete from Totally 80s Room.
He created an 80s... Totally 80s.
Like, film. I was thinking we have to talk to Pete about this because we've mentioned him before.
But he's not creepy.
No, not creepy at all. But I'm saying we've mentioned Pete before. He has a an Instagram page, a YouTube channel called Totally 80s Room. Great.
And a TikTok.
Does he do TikTok too?
He does TikTok. Yeah.
He has a great page, Totally 80s Room. Check it out. Anyway, but he collects all 80s stuff. So when they were making fun of the dad, they're like, all he does is stay in that room collecting 80s stuff.
Yeah, I think the son was like that creepy 80s.
Yeah, he's like creepy 80s guy, you know. Anyway, he switches to the dad. He has this like 8-bit game on, and it's called Cursor.
Right, and behind his big computer, there's a Nightmare on Elm Street poster.
That is true. We spotted that right away, and we're like, did they pay for the rights for that?
Well, because in the beginning of the film, it says Robert Englund is in it.
Yes, the movie advertises that Robert Englund is in it, and we'll get to the how he's in it, because he's not really in it. So the guy who is playing this game, Cursor, and it like it's Cursor, but it's not spelled C-U-R-S-E-R. It's C-U-R-S, like greater than arrow R,
and lots of skulls, green skulls. But it's like the graphics are from the 80s.
Yes, all it reminded me was Grindr, because ending with the
I've never been on Grindr.
Sure, yeah,
I'm a saint.
Anyway,
I really have.
I know. I actually
make that clear.
I can attest to that. Tim has not gone on Grindr. That doesn't mean he's not a dirty whore, but he. Oh,
I'm on the Tinder.
You're right.
Swipe right, swipe left, swipe right.
Hey, whatever app you use for your hookups, Tim.
I don't hook up. I'm too old for that crap.
Like Kelly Clarkson. Oh, I do not.
Thank you.
Hook up. Oh, anyway. Okay, so the guy.
I haven't been to 7 of her concerts.
Oh, you know who has?
You.
This guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so he's on Cursor, and it's saying, like, you know, like, you choose your son's tongue or your, it just pops up.
Wife's
or your
ear.
Wife's ear. And he's like, what the fuck? And it says, choose or die. And he tries to, like, escape it. And then he is like shaking almost in a seizure. And so he has to choose, but you don't see
so
what he chooses.
Like goes like computer graphic and like there's green lights and then it goes inside.
And he sees and the mom is holding a knife. It's like, I don't know what happened. And the son's mouth is like filled with blood, AKA he must've chosen the son's tongue
and then she
was forced to
like,
do it.
Awesome. Like, what are those called when a movie starts with credits?
Credits. It's a rough one.
The
rough
credits
one.
Start and like it's really good music. It
the
gets
music
you pumped
is
for a good movie.
80s synth like fun music and you're like, yes, 80s
and
synth.
And then it says all the cast members which we've never heard of, and then it says, and Robert Englund.
I know, and you're like, oh my God, talk about 80s. Anyway, it switches. It says 3 months later because, you know, those 3 months, big difference.
Lots
can
changed.
You imagine like if they hadn't said 3 months later, like what
I don't
would
think
it matter?
Changed anything.
Nothing. So we get to our protagonist, which I guess, and why did I already forget her? Kayla. Yes, Kayla.
Oh gosh, I didn't forget it. I lose friendships for.
Well, because I have a really good friend named Kyla, and everyone always mispronounces it Kayla. And so it was funny to see this one was K A Y L A. Her
and
name is K A I.
She's called me out on it and said, like, you say it wrong.
Well, in her defense, it is spelled K A I L A.
Listen, it probably was what, 5 years that I did it wrong?
Yeah, I know. It only took you 5 years to get it right.
You know, I'm probably still saying it wrong.
You probably
Amanda
do.
Wiss Weiss, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Tim, the king
so
of
if
pronunciation.
If you're listening, Kayla, I'm so sorry.
It's spelled K A I. Which is Kai. Anyway, so this girl's name is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, and she has, I think it's like almost like a janitorial job or something.
Yeah,
her boss is horrible.
Yes, she hates it.
She kind of lives in the slums of New York. Her mom looks like her first you think her mom is sick, but then you see like a crack pipe.
Right, yeah, we don't know if I think her mom's suffering from depression and she's using drugs as a, what's that called when you use something? something too.
A vice. Yes. And then she also, there's like this creepy guy. He's not the landlord, but he hangs around the apartment.
Right. He wants to
give them money to sell drugs or to have sex. Like basically he's just the creepiest person. And he looks exactly like Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters.
Right. He's got a greased ponytail. It's gross.
But it's weird because I actually think Dave Grohl is a good looking guy.
Would you date him?
Would I date him?
I mean, if you didn't have a boyfriend.
Dave Grohl?
Like maybe a kiss on the cheek?
Just a kiss on the cheek because we're in fourth grade. No, but I mean, it's Dave Grohl, but like creepy Dave Grohl.
Right. And no one likes the creepy anything.
Nobody likes. Everybody wants like hot and rocker Dave Grohl.
Right. Like who's someone hot right now? Tom Cruise.
Okay, but speaking of 80s, what, can you pick somebody from 2000 and above?
I blanked.
Wow. Blanked. Anyway. So she has a friend who works selling computer parts, and she like delivers.
It has a really cute, clever name called Bite Me.
Yeah, but B-Y-T-E, you have to say that, or yeah, you'd be like, what is
Bite
it?
Me.
Bite Me, but B-Y-T-E, like computer bites, get it? Love puns.
So he has got a crush on her. She's giving him old like keyboards and they have a good relationship, but we all know that he's got a crush on her.
Yes. And his name is Isaac, and he kind of refurbishes would be the right word.
That's like 80s stuff
or like computer stuff. And she's bringing him stuff, I think maybe to make money. And they find this like, was it a cassette tape?
Oh yeah, it's a cassette tape. So they play it. And this is where Freddy Krueger himself comes in.
Well, no. The cassette tape says on it, it says, there's like a flyer that says, if you want to win the game Cursor, like the prize money, $125,000, call this number. And they're joking like, do you think the number's still in service? Is this some 80s thing? So they call the number.
And that is when Freddy Krueger himself, Robert Englund, comes in.
You hear a recorded message, and I remember we were like, is that Robert Englund? But then it says, hi, I'm Robert Englund. Like, it really does.
Robert Englund played Robert Englund's voice.
But we don't ever see him.
Which is just a bummer.
A voice.
I always want to see him.
He's a voice on a phone, and I'm like, you can't put Robert Englund's name in the credits and tease us, and then we don't get to see Freddy Krueger.
Right, like teaser, like our film, come in. Everyone watch it on YouTube.
Yes, our film is on YouTube. Come in, search for it. It's on the Happy Hard Time YouTube channel. I mean, not gonna
see if we live or die.
Not gonna plug it, but it's a short film. It's great. It's horror. Tim and I are both in it,
but we don't want to talk about it.
We don't want to talk about it. It's great. You'll love it. The best 15 minutes of your life. Go.
Yes.
Well, but so Robert Englund is just like saying,
"I love that you burped."
Thank you for calling that out. So Robert Englund's voice says, like, you know, you are it's give the prize code or something, or you have accepted to play this game, whatever. And they're like, okay, whatever, this is bullshit. But it is funny. Tim and I noticed that he never says, "I'm Robert Englund from Nightmare on Elm Street" or "Freddy Krueger." And even the friend, Isaac, because Kayla's like, who's Robert Englund? He's like, how do you not know who he is? And he doesn't describe him as Freddy Krueger. And so Tim and I are like, did they not have the rights to use the name?
Can Isaac not tell his friend that it's Freddy Krueger?
He's like, you don't know Robert Englund, you know, the guy. And he's like pretending to be him, but he won't say Freddy or Nightmare.
They got the poster of the movie. What's the problem?
The first thing you'd say is Freddy Krueger. So the fact that they didn't, I'm like, there's something with rights here.
Maybe there's just a choice. Yeah.
It was a choice. Well, anyway, so that night, Kayla is at like a diner, and like the game, the weird green game, just like pops up on her screen.
Yeah, and this waitress comes over, and as she's talking to her, the computer game is starting to
like type in the words of what she's saying.
Right. So you're already like, okay, the game is on. It's happening.
It's like the game or somehow is interacting with real life. But it starts very innocent. It comes on and says like coffee or cake. And then like she's like laughing.
Kind of fun.
And she types coffee. And then suddenly the waitress is in front of her pouring coffee, like to the point that it scares her. But then it says, the waitress starts dropping glasses on the ground, breaking. And then it says, what did it say? Clean up or what? Or continue breaking or something?
Yeah, break or clean up.
And of course she types like clean up, but then the
this scene is memorable. And if this movie is you know, decades down the line. Even this is the scene.
If you're squeamish, you will not be able to watch this because the waitress gets on her knees. No, she not
drops,
going.
Where she drops to the knees into the glass, which is already disturbing, number one.
And puts a piece of glass in her mouth and starts chewing and swallowing
and
it as
blood's
she's
going everywhere. And as a viewer, I think you looked away. I looked away.
I couldn't watch it because then she goes to do another one and the girl, Kayla, is trying to stop
like,
her.
Stop.
And like the game won't let her. It like does this big loud noise and like literally she can't stop her. She just keeps bleeding and like chewing broken glass.
So like she tries to run over, like all of a sudden the like her boss gets in the
it's
way.
It's like part of the game.
Part
I
of
think.
The game.
And then she wakes up. Kayla wakes up. Like, and I was saying this during the movie.
I was like, well, that's kind of a cop out, but.
Well,
we
I
get
never
it.
Like when someone wakes up after something that's kind of paranormal.
Right.
I always feel like, was it a dream or not? Because if it wasn't, we don't need the person to wake up.
Right.
Like, but apparently it wasn't a dream. And she is just like, well, fuck this. And she like destroys the cassette tape in the game and she thinks we're good. I don't want to be part of this game anymore.
So
all
then,
contraire.
So then she goes back to her horrible, lousy job.
Where they're cleaning floors.
Right. And there happens to be a huge computer.
And what do you know, right at 2 a.m., same time as the last night, the game just happens to pop on the screen out of nowhere.
And so she calls her mom. Does she call her mom?
Well, no, her mom calls her freaking out because she says the rats are coming out of the walls.
Yeah, so then she looks at the screen and they're like it's almost like old 80s graphics.
It's turned an 8-bit game.
So her mom is like this little figurine and you see a rat climbing through
like
different
rooms. And the mom, here's the funny part about this is that she's on the phone with her mom and her mom, but Kayla's watching her mom as an 8-bit character on the screen and the rat is an 8-bit character and telling her what rooms to go
right.
into
she's
to
like,
get
okay,
away.
So like he's in the other room. So now make her run to the door. So she tries to run to the door and then like the rat's out of the room. So she's like, oh no, go back to the bedroom.
And the game is asking her things like, should the rat chew the door or charge in? And remember, you have to give a choice or you'll die.
So
like you have to.
So she types in chew.
And then the rat breaks through the door. And remember, you're seeing this as an 8-bit game. And then the mom's like, oh my God, how can I get away? And she's like, you got to jump out the window. She's like, no, I can't. What? And
so then she jumps
out the
window. So obviously she gets hurt and she's in the hospital.
Yeah, she didn't die though.
So then she goes to the hospital. Her mom's like, oh my God, the rat.
Yes. So Kayla goes to her friend Isaac and tries to like, hey, she tells him what happens. Of course he doesn't believe her because it's, why would you believe
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's all insane.
Well, they decide that they're going to, she's like, I'm going to stay with you at 2 a.m. tonight because it's going to happen again. And what do you know? The game comes on at Isaac's place at 2 a.m.
And so she has a backstory that her brother passed away drowning.
Yes, he died drowning. And it was, she had a lot of guilt because she had taken him swimming and looked away. So he drowned in the pool. And what do demon games like to do, Tim?
More mind games of guilt.
Yes, they love to play on guilt and trauma. So it's like pretend. It like has like a demon version of her brother.
Right. So then the game asks her, because the game is on. It's happening again.
It is on. And like Donkey Kong.
Yes, which is my favorite game.
And an 80s game.
Yes. I'm kidding. I liked Pac-Man. no, so she like has to choose between Isaac and her brother. And then.
Well, there's a. like, you're like, let's get this going.
I know.
Well, there's like, this whole scene where like it's like a in a pool. Isaac is part of this fantasy now. And like. Isaac is there in the pool, but it's really like just fog. And then both Isaac, her friend, and her brother, but it's obviously not her brother because
her brother
died.
Like a, it's like a demon brother.
It's like a demon brother, and she has to choose between them. And she obviously chooses Isaac because she knows it's not her brother because the brother's dead. And it's just this weird,
it's
convoluted
like, it's such
scene.
It's a mind game because then she has to kill her brother who's already dead, which
well,
is already
like the
disturbing.
Brother's like a demon and he's trying to hurt her, and she has to kind of strangle her own brother, which was totally unnecessary because I was like,
we just saw someone eat glass. Do we need, really need this?
Well, but that and up until this point, the game has been more just like taking control of other people, not like creating demons. So like, did we need a demon brother that she had to strangle?
Well, I did.
You're like, if you know what this movie needs? Demon brothers to strangle.
Yes, yes.
Well, as we move forward, they're like, how we need to find out where this game came from. And they're able to like look into the code and find that it originated somewhere upstate. So her and Isaac go on a little road trip
this
up
is
to...
Where the movie for me got a little like the whole point of the next scene is to tell us something.
Well, they're supposed to be like the origins of the game. They right. go to this warehouse where they hear like see a recorded tape,
a beta, which is from the 80s.
Well, it's like the, it's well, and there's like a recorded of whoever was testing this curse at the beginning, and it was a guy doing a test on another guy, and so he realized a way that if he hurts himself, it'll actually hurt the other guy.
Yeah, so like the guy's playing the game, and the guy said either chew your arm or like eat your arm or eat the computer. So to change the course of this, he cuts his own arm, and then so when the guy starts to eat his arm, this made no sense.
Let me try.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. No, I don't know what you're saying.
Yes, you
do. Not at all.
You know what I'm
saying. Zero people
know
what you're
saying. You know what you did.
Listen, Heidi. You know what you did. No. Okay, I'm going to try, but it was a good attempt, but it is really tough. It was a good attempt.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
Okay, so what happens is the guy is like figuring that if he like stabs his own arm, it'll hurt the guy in the room.
What are you talking about?
But then the guy, he chooses that the guy's going to bite his own arm. And every time the guy hurts himself in the room, the cursor heals. So he realizes, oh, this game, as long as you're hurting others, you benefit from it, which is really fucking sick.
Right. It is disgusting.
That's literally like, hey, you know what's a great idea? Hurting others and I'll feel better.
But you know what? That is kind of the concept of all seven saws. Like, you know, sometimes when they play the game, like if you hurt yourself, the other person gets free.
See, I always thought Saw was like, we're like,
well,
a morbid.
Not every Saw, but there is one Saw in particular that kind of.
Well, I always thought like teaching people a morbid lesson, like you've done wrong, so I'm going to teach you in like a, you know,
messed
homicidal
way,
which is way too far, obviously.
Right,
but
right.
Anyway,
I mean,
yeah,
just a glimpse of Saw.
It had a little glimpse of Saw. Like it was weird though. It was just, there was a lot, but then this is where it really went off the rails.
So poor Isaac is pulling beta tape out of his mouth.
Well, it's like the game comes on again and Isaac gets pulled into like, it literally looked like the Aha video Take On Me.
Which I started singing and dancing. And you told me to sit down.
I said, Tim, sit the fuck down. And then I said, Tim, choose or die.
And then I said, choose, die.
I know. And then it said, Matt, Tim, sit down or
start dancing.
Or Tim, start dancing. I was like, start dancing. And then he started dancing.
Yeah.
No. So I totally lost my dream. The game pulls him in, pulls
and
Isaac in.
Dies.
Well, like it's this weird, like he's pulling actual videotape, like film out of his mouth.
Which,
and
how's that possible?
It's not, but the game says fast forward or rewind, and she chooses fast forward. So he
either
starts
way,
like
he's dead.
Pulling it out really fast and just like just pulling all this tape out. And then when he finally is done, he just dies.
It was kind of visually stunning, I guess.
Was it?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, at this point, literally, I looked at Tim and I was like, I'm
God,
out.
God, I'm gorgeous.
I looked at Tim and I was like, God, you're gorgeous. That's what I said.
Yeah.
No, I looked at Tim and I said, like, I'm out. Because up until this point, even though it was ridiculous, like, this was,
it was still creepy.
Times
10. It was still creepy. But then it kind of redeemed itself with the last 20 minutes, I think. Like,
so she, it says the game comes on and it says, you know, your final task, you have to fight against the head boss. So what happens?
So the guy at the very beginning, the 80s creepy guy, and her go head to head.
Yes, she gives her address. She comes to his
which
house.
Which is a beautiful, rich dynasty mansion.
And what you see is the guy is sitting there, his wife and son, apparently he's been
cutting
torturing them,
up.
Well, I think he's been using the game to torture them to make sure he's okay, because the son is like whimpering with like bandages or like a mask over him.
It's kind of creepy. He's got like a, like what looks kind of like a video image over his eye and his mouth.
And the wife has something over half her face. So obviously he's been like abusing this game to cut them up and torture them. And it says that she has to like fight against him. And the best part, the best line in this movie, Tim.
Heaven. No, you're going to say it.
No, you do it.
You have a lower voice. It's better.
So he says something he starts talking about, because remember, he's the one who kind of like found this game, and he's like, you know, blah, 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 the 80s. And she says,
fuck the 80s.
And he says, fuck the 80s. Like, it is hilarious to the point that we like recorded it and sent it to our friend Pete from Totally 80s Room, because it's just so funny, because he's like, the guy is so offended that they said, fuck the 80s?
It was borderline comedic.
It really was. I mean, I don't even know if it was borderline. I think it was just comedic.
Yeah,
but
it
like,
was there.
But then, talk about comedic. Their final battle, they both realize that in order to hurt the other one, they have to hurt themselves.
So
it's
the
lunacy.
Mother and the son are like, okay, our dad slash husband has been such an asshole to us. Mm-hmm. So they go after the young girl because then it hurts him.
Yes, like they're trying to shoot the girl because every time they would shoot her, he'd get the effects. But also the guy is trying to like slit his own throat to hurt the girl. And the girl's trying to shoot his head. Like they're all trying to hurt each other.
Then she picks up this huge statue and her idea is like, I'm going to drown myself by putting this huge like concrete statue over my body.
Yes, she jumps in the pool with the statue over holding her down. And then it affects the guy and water starts spilling out of his mouth like he's drowning and he finally falls over and dies. It's just, it's too, like, it really was kind of comedic.
Well,
like,
I mean, what was that movie that we saw like last summer and like it was people and they were playing a game? Escape Room.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah, yes.
It kind of reminded me of the lines of
yes,
that.
It's almost like it's like hurting yourselves to the... You know what it made me think of? The ending of Scream 4 when she's trying to make it look like she's the victim and keeps hurting herself. Like, that's what it reminded me
when she
of.
When she jumped backwards on the table.
Yes, and she keeps doing things. That's what they're doing. They're trying to hurt themselves to hurt the other. Anyway, she succeeds. And then, like, the ending scene is, like, now she's realized that... You know, she can use this curse herself to hurt people who deserve it. Like, suddenly she's a superhero, right. And the more people she hurts, she can help herself and her mom.
Right, so the guy that's been, like, pretty nasty to her the whole movie, the pimp / sleazy guy, she's like, okay. So, like, she plays the game with him, and then he starts playing the game via text, and then he goes into the kitchen where there's a bunch of needles for
like drug needles, yeah.
And he shoves his face on.
Yeah, because she forces him through the game to, like, impale his own face.
And that's very reminiscent of Saw 2 when Shawnee Smith fell on
You're right. That was very Saw-ish. But it's a weird ending because like you like Kayla, but at the same time you're like, I don't
know
if
she's a cold-blooded killer.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you can't use this curse for good. There's no real good in this because even if it's people who quote-unquote deserve it, like who is making the call of who deserves to be murdered and tortured?
I could think of a few people.
I mean, I'm sure we all could, but it's like at the same time, and she keeps thinking like she's using it for good. She's not just torturing innocent people, but that is a fine line.
Like I think as she was taking off the bandages and her scars were going away, and like,
she's like, ooh, can I?
God, yeah. I'm pretty.
She's like, I'm gonna torture more and more people. She's gonna get like a glow up. She's gonna be beautiful. So all in all, I will say the first.
I love that you said glow up.
I did. I'm so with it.
You are so woke.
The first half of this movie, I was into it. Like, I thought it was interesting and different and unique. And the second half, it was just lunacy.
Right. I mean, but I like the running time.
I'm going to say, okay, apart from the running time.
No. I thought the lead girl was great. I thought the concept was great.
Her name is
great.
Asia Butterfield.
What
that is quite a name.
In?
Or maybe I'm pronouncing it right. A-S-A.
Has she guest starred on CSI?
Sorry. Asia Butterfield is Isaac. Wow, I got that one. I apologize. It's Iola Evans.
What has she been in?
I don't know. I just am looking at the names.
Iola
Evans. She was great. A great performance.
Very strong actress.
Yes. But I mean, first off, Robert Englund was only a voice.
Right. And so
don't watch this for Robert Englund. Yeah. Secondly, it really does get to the point where it's absolute lunacy. I mean, I've heard of suspension of disbelief, and then there's like suspension of all beliefs.
I would rather have choose or die lunacy than the Cellar lunacy.
I was just going to ask you which one you prefer. You know what?
It's so down, choose or die.
So weirdly enough, I think I agree. Even though I was never laughing at the Cellar, I was just not as interested.
I think it was just, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just middle of the road average.
And that's the thing with choose or die. The first half I thought was really good. The second half, yes, I was laughing at, but I was never not in it. You know?
Yeah. I was in it throughout the whole thing and it's gross.
I mean, I should take that back. I did look at you and say, okay, I'm out. But like when it was getting crazy, but I meant I'm out on like taking it seriously.
Right. Like, this is an Oscar contender.
Like, there's no more Oscar.
Right. Up to this point, it was practically The Exorcist.
It was almost Titanic. Right. And then it was just like, no.
Right. I was like, move over Leo DiCaprio.
Exactly. I think it was close to that. But no, I think, I mean, I feel like, first off, if you like 80s references and 80s looking games. You should watch it for that.
I mean, I'm sure I hate playing games, by the way.
Like video games.
Yeah, I've never been a Nintendo user. I don't care about the anything.
See, that's crazy. Well, I mean, it's not that that's crazy, but me, I actually only like the really retro games, like the original Nintendo, the arcade games. So I love like the simple 8-bit games.
I mean, I used to have... this is going to sound so gross. I used to have a joystick.
I thought you were going to say, like, I used to have and say something from, like, 1920. Well, I used to have a...
autographed picture from Shirley Temple.
Oh, my God. At what age?
I'm joking.
Oh, I know. I was like, when she was 5.
At the end of her career, when she was in her 80s.
Oh, good. That's how I like to remember Shirley Temple. I just think that this... movie, if you can watch it and have fun with it, but you have to know that it's going to be absolutely like over the top nuts craziness.
Yeah. Leave your brain at the door.
Yes, but I do think I agree that whereas The Cellar was just kind of meh, at least Choose or Die, like, if you had to choose or die, you would choose or Die, right?
Of course, 110%.
Yeah. Oh, 110, really? 100% cotton?
100% cotton. You know, I actually hate when people say anything over 100. We get it.
I know. It is funny when someone said, oh, what would you give it, a 12 out of 10? No. It's out of 10.
Yeah, we don't, okay. Ooh, you
because
said 12.
Then when you have to top it, you're like a 15 out of 10. Well, then it's not out of 10 anymore. Right, just say 100%. Dumb motherfuckers.
I don't know if that deserved an MF, Matt.
MF. Anyway, I do, but I think, I was about to say, if you have Netflix, let's be honest, you have Netflix.
Right. I mean, they're $54 billion in the hole, but what are you going to do?
Look at the trailer, you'll, and then remember what we said, and then give it a shot. With The Cellar, I'd say, maybe skip.
You know, I mean, it might be scary if you're home alone in the dark.
Watching Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you love Alicia Cuthbert, like we do, you'll probably want to watch it just to see her. Otherwise, maybe not.
Right. Watch an episode of Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss? She's not in Who. Watch 24, season 1 or season 2 or season 3.
I'm not going to...
You're like, I don't know.
I'm not endorsing that.
Yes. But Choose or Die, I'm interested to see where some of the people, like the main girl, like what she does next, because she was a strong performer.
She was. I mean, maybe there's a Choose or Die sequel.
I would choose not.
Do you think?
I don't think it's going to be that popular. You're I don't right. feel like this is like, this isn't Bird Box, you know, and that hasn't even had a sequel yet. It's like,
I know. Well, everyone loves Sandy B.
Yes, Sandy B. I like that Sandy B. Anyway, okay, well, that is it for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a great night, Uncut Gems.
No.
Yes.
I told him, I was like, enough with the fucking Uncut Gems thing.
I told Matt, I do what I want.
And Tim said, everyone loves that reference. If you don't love that reference, let us know.
No.
Just kidding. Okay. And if you love that
choose
reference.
Choose it or die.
Wait, either choose Uncut Gems or
die.
Okay, good night. Bye.
Good night, Uncut Gems. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall, and we're now supported by Spreaker Prime.
We release episodes every Sunday and switch off between reviewing new horror movies and interviewing horror stars and insiders from iconic films.
You can stream all of our episodes directly from our website, which is happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, which is why we try and let listeners know the movies that we're going to review in advance on our social media pages.
And speaking of social media, make sure to follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting some of our interviews up on the YouTube. You can find us by searching for Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. That's Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes.
It's huge!
Which means hours and hours of more Happy Horror Time excitement! Our bonus episodes usually involve us discussing horror films that fall under like a fun theme or a popular franchise. Trust me, you're going to love them.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.